NyQuil is good, and I think I could be calm.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do this. It's like I want my voice. It's like if I slow down, it'll catch up. I don't know why I do it. Okay. Okay.
Well, this is going swimmingly.
Yeah, right?
Oh, shit. My Star Trek calendar is off. Still has Captain Kirk on it. It's February.
It's February. You need to change that.
Oh, man. Who we get now? Oh,
it's Spock.
They
no
were
one
changing
else can
it
tell, but it's Spock.
Oh, he's smiling. It's from, like, the one episode where he smiles. What the heck is this?
I don't know what to tell you. It's your calendar.
I felt cheated. Screw you, smiling Spock.
I'd say it's more of a smirk than a smile.
Shut up, bad guy! I probably sound so stupid. Like, to me, it sounds like I know why I'm doing it. To you guys, I'm just like...
If you're going to go on a long dissertation, you could click your mute button so you could speech for a while. The nice all thing right is, when Pete's talking, he'll flash up on your screen.
Yes. Pete, if you need to interject, like, wave your hand or something.
Yeah, like, I have a response.
Become very animated. All right.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to the EDX button.
Welcome to the what?
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 13th, 2012. This is Mike Minotti and I am joined by my brother Ajguy.
Hello.
And our good friend Pete Davison.
Hello.
How's it going, Pete?
It's going good, thanks.
Great, great, great. We've missed you.
Yes, I've missed you too.
British charms.
That sounded a bit pervy, I'm sorry.
Talk about biscuits.
Right, so for the show today, we're going to do the news. How's the news look, Ajguy?
I got all kinds of stuff. Well, I mean, we had a big thing happen this week with Double Fine and Kickstarter.
Yeah, it was quite exciting. So we'll talk about that. Then we got Let's Go Topical, our week in gaming, and the new releases, and that'll be the show. So let's get rolling. What's first up?
So Double Fine Kickstarter. Double Fine decided that they wanted to make a new old-school graphical point-and-click adventure game. They hadn't done one of these since Tim Schafer, worked at LucasArts, so I guess Double Fine technically hasn't. I guess they had, like, a project that got canceled last month, and this was kind of like a last-ditch thing to make sure they didn't have to lay anybody off. So they decided to set it with a budget for $300,000 for the game, $100,000 to have two-player productions document the whole thing. They put it on Kickstarter with, like, a 30-day time limit on it. That night, they hit their $400,000 goal. When I woke up the next day, they're at, like, 600-some thousand. Within 24 hours, they broke a million. It broke, like, every Kickstarter record, and this now means Double Fine is going to make an old-school point-and-click adventure game.
With complete creative control.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Everyone just thinks I sound stupid. They don't know why I just did that.
We're having an awkward recording scenario. So if Mike sounds dumb, he is, but it's not entirely his fault.
But that's what's exciting is, they're just going to be able to make basically whatever they want. They don't have to answer to anybody.
Right, and like you said, if they were to actually go to a publisher and say, like, hey, we'd like $2 million to make a point-and-click adventure game, they'd just laugh at him and say, please leave the room.
Yeah.
It would have never happened.
Yeah, I am very happy about this. Because a lot of people have been saying the point-and-click adventure is dead for a long time, but it's not. It really isn't. There's been certain evolutions to the genre, but it's mostly become something you find in the downloadable space these days. So there's a lot of things like sort of the Blackwell series and stuff that hit Steam recently. Even sort of things like hidden object games and stuff are kind of a spin-off of the point-and-click genre. So it's still alive and well. So to see someone who's known for doing that do it again is really good. So I'm all for it.
Nice thing too is he said if they go over that budget, which they clearly have, that's when they'll start looking into like upping the voiceover budget, the music budget. They'll bring it to other platforms, so Mac, iOS, Android, everything like that. So
wouldn't it be funny if the game sucks?
That would be terrible. Like, surprise. But I mean,
this is
even
awful.
They said if the game's shit, you're gonna have a documentary of the whole shitty process, so everybody wins. No matter what.
I think my favorite thing in the whole process was where Tim Schafer tweeted, it's like, if we get up to 850,000, I'll put real time strategy elements in the game, and if I get up to 860,000, I'll take them out again.
I did not see that.
Well, then Patrick Klepek of Giant Bomb interviewed him after this was all kind of blowing up, and he was at the DICE Summit at the time. And he was on, like one of the other Double Fine guys. They're all in a hotel room. He had to use this guy's iPad and go in the bathroom because it was the only room that was quiet in the hotel. So he's, like, sitting on a toilet talking to an iPad doing an interview. They had to cut the interview short because someone needed to use the bathroom. It's like, how perfect is that? So, yes, I mean, I did you contribute as well, Pete?
I haven't yet because I haven't been paid for this month yet, but as soon as I am paid, I will be contributing to that, most definitely.
And it's nice because, I mean, you know, you put down the money when the game comes out, you get it. It's basically just pre-ordering in full but saying, please make the game.
Right. Well, we actually had an interesting conversation on Bitmob amongst the staff about whether it would be, from like a business morality standpoint, okay to review the game if you donated to the Kickstarter. And I really just kind of view at least the two lower levels of the Kickstarter as pre-ordering and buying the game or pre-ordering and buying the special edition.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not like if the game does well, you're going to get a financial return on it. You just bought it ahead of time and they're using that money to actually make it. Yeah, if you bought like the $1,000 poster or the $10,000 have lunch with Tim Schafer one, yeah, okay, maybe you're not quite capable of objectively reviewing or criticizing the game.
I'm already not objective. I mean, this is the guy who made Grim Fandango. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, how many game journalists have got that sort of money?
I want to know who that guy is who bought the $10,000 lunch.
Well, you see, like, the really expensive ones that are just on Double Fine's website. Like,
no, I actually didn't look at them. What are they?
Like, the most expensive one, I think it's, like, $100,000, and you get one of the last four, like, original triangle box copies of Day of the Tentacle.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
Nice.
I wish I had $100,000 sitting
around. I'm going to spend $100,000 on Day of the Tentacle.
That's right.
That argument actually blew up from several outlets as well, not just on Bitmob, but I saw it on a few UK outlets as well. I think there was a certain element of people trying to find a spin on the story that would make it sort of more interesting than just yay Tim Schafer. So I don't know, the whole sort of controversy of it seemed a bit forced.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought when all the Bitmob people were arguing about this, and some of them were very passionate about it, like, no, you can't because you're invested in it, and I don't know. I very often, though, don't seem to think these things are as big a deal as people make them out to be, though, so who knows?
It's not an investment.
You know, I get nothing out of it if it succeeds or not, right?
Right. If the game's shit, the game's good, you still get your game and you get your documentary.
Basically, I said yay adventure games and gave them $15.
Right.
Yeah.
All right,
next.
Are we going to talk about more of that later?
We are.
Okay, that's what I figured. I was holding back. So we have the NPDs for January. I mean, nothing really big came out, so it's a fairly predictable
The interesting
list.
Thing about these NPDs is that everything was down, and Michael Pachter basically came out and said, I don't believe this. Like, he thinks it's faulty. Like, he has no comprehension of how everything could be down from the same period however many years ago when there's a gigantic install base and all sorts of things.
And nothing, I mean, the biggest release this month was arguably Soul Calibur 5 and Final Fantasy 13 2, which came out on the 31st.
Right. You know, but I mean, January is usually kind of a dead month, though. It's not abnormal for
last
January.
Last year you had at least Destiny 2, Little Big Planet 2, DC Universe Online.
Well, last year we had a bunch of games that were like delayed from January, but that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like Scott Steiner. Sorry. Random wrestling reference. Sorry, Pete.
But yeah, I mean, here's the quick list. No shocker, Modern Warfare 3 at the top, Just Dance 3, then Skyrim, NBA 2K12, Battlefield 3, Madden, Mario Kart, Skylanders, Zumba, and Saints Row the Third.
Did you guys see this thing where the video game Guinness Book of World Records thing?
Yeah. Oh, they picked like the top endings of all time.
Yeah, they had a fan vote for it. And number one was Call of Duty Black Ops, the best video game ending of all time.
Really?
Dang, it wasn't even on the list.
It's a real thing. Real thing, Pete.
I'm disappointed in everything.
hey, you were working for GamePro when they came out with that horrible top fighters list, so I don't want to hear it.
You're so bitter about that.
It's a bad list.
All right,
not the worst list anymore, I guess. I mean, this whole list is just bad. But, I mean, it's just a popularity contest. Call of Duty Black Ops. What was the ending? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I watched you beat it. I don't remember.
It's
going to do with the numbers. I don't know.
I don't know.
As I recall, it was basically just a ripoff of the one with Edward Norton and Brad Pitt. Fight Club.
Yeah, it's Fight Club. That's right. Oh, it's all in his head. Whoa. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. All
right, relax.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, you should make that a regular feature of Mike reenacting video game endings.
And this Mike, you guys. It was all in his head.
All right, let's move on. So,
it was the sled.
Spoilers. Let's see. So with Twisted Metal coming out tomorrow,
Twisted Metal.
The news hit this week that David Jaffe is leaving Eat Sleep Play, the company that he founded.
So he can leave it and find another company.
Yeah,
like find one, not found one. Like find one. How do you? What is the president?
What's under this rock?
Oh, look,
game company.
To found a company.
Mobile games? No, I'm gonna find another one. So that happened. Did you put Jaffe in the rundown for the next segment too?
Not Jaffe, but we're talking about Twisted Metal.
Okay, I'll air my grievances.
You seem to be upset. You seem to be down on this Twisted Metal game in general.
I'm not
I don't understand
down
why.
On,
yes,
on
you
Twisted
are.
Metal. I'm down on Jaffe.
You were like baffled that it was going to be a full retail game.
Well, no,
I didn't
realize it was because the last three have been like downloadable.
That's
so,
not, which
like,
ones are these last? What are
Twisted
these?
Twisted Metal
three?
Black, Twisted Metal Black Online, the PSP downloadable one.
Twisted Metal Black was not a downloadable game. That was a PS2 game.
No, they did like the PS3 update of it. That was like the online one.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, then that's a PS3 update of it. This is a new Twisted Metal.
Okay.
You're dumb. Pete, how dumb is he? Come on.
I'm not getting involved in this.
Pete! How stupid is AJ?
Shut up.
What was that?
I don't know. Some smiley face thing he held up. I like doing video chat as we record these. It's fun. Anyway, go sit back down.
I'm looking at Pete.
He's right there.
It's fine. You can see me. I can hear you.
So Skylanders, which is insanely popular, they've announced Skylanders Giants, which is the sequel. It'll stop it. You're grounded. Go sit down. It will still support the old Portal, despite some contrary reports at first. But they're going to have these new giant figures, which are bigger. And then they'll also have figures with lights in them. That, like, as you put it towards the Portal of Power, the light gets brighter.
We still need to play that copy of Skylanders.
You got it for your birthday, what, 2 months ago?
I was very excited to get it. I said, you know how it's been. It's been crazy busy.
You just bought another Skylander.
I did. I bought Prism Break.
That's the one I saw who got all lit up.
I've heard good things about that, actually, but I haven't looked at it at all myself.
You should fly over here. We'll play some Skylanders.
Yeah, just come on down.
Come on over.
We'll order a pizza. You know, I bet you'll get here before it.
Nice.
Yeah, I bet pizza in the UK sucks.
Next. So they've finally given a date to the Star Wars Kinect game and console for April 3rd. Now,
yes.
I feel like if it's coming out this late now, why not just release it on May 4th and do the whole May the 4th be with you tie into it?
I don't know.
It's not as if they can make it any lamer, is it, really?
I really wonder what that game's going to be like.
I feel bad. I think George worked on this a little bit.
It's got a dance-off mode in it.
A what mode?
It's got a dance-off mode in it. With
dance-off?
Yeah.
Like dancing?
Yeah, it's got a dancing mode in it. Which
like Twilight dancing? Like strip dancing in Jabba's palace?
Yes.
That's the only time they've ever danced in Star Wars. I don't know.
It's got pioneering Kinect clothes recognition technology, and you actually have to strip in front of your Xbox.
There's a little meter to show like how excited Jabba is.
You are this naked.
His like little tail will start wiggling, kind of like when he was gang strangled.
Oh, moving on.
He likes gang strangled.
Stop it. Tuesday, they released the Skyrim creation kit, and they said they had a surprise. There were kind of really two surprises. First, they have the official high-res texture pack. Have you put this on the game? Have you played it at all since this came out? You should. It looks really nice from the screenshots and videos. They also released a fun little mod where the space core from Portal 2 crash lands in the Skyrim. So, like, you know, he's just sitting there. So finally, Nolan North is now in every major release of 2011. But, you know, you pick him up and you just go, space, back space, space. Yes. They also like have the whole Steam Workshop thing going now, so you can actually upload and download mods directly through Steam. All looks very fine and
dandy. Do you think that Valve realized that was going to be the big meme from their game when they made Portal 2?
The space thing.
Yeah, like
that's possible.
I wonder if they knew that that's what we would all like the most. Like that's the new the cake is a lie is the space robot.
I guess so. But yeah. The fun thing is it's not so specific. Like you could just start muttering about space.
Right.
With that little voice and it's fun.
Space. He's not even introduced until like the last 10 minutes of the game.
I know. That Nolan North, man, he can make an impact.
Oh yeah.
So, with the Vita coming out, well, this week / next week in the U.S., when's it come out in Europe?
I think it's a similar time. It's only like a couple of days after you guys, I think.
Okay. But yeah, they've announced that no, the PS Vita disc transfer bullshit system will not be coming to the States.
Oh, man.
Can't say I'm too sad about it.
Can't play all of your great PSP games.
Can't they even just do something where you just actually mail in your disc and they just give you the credit? I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, I'm sure it won't matter in a few months. I just think PSP. It's dumb.
Have they announced prices for download games in the US yet? Because they announced that here today.
They actually have been, people have already been downloading Vita games on their PS3. It's a 10% savings.
Yeah.
Like the initial rumors suggested. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's something, I guess, but The where it's going to be a tricky thing is when you have people like Amazon who do gold box deals and everything, and then you compare it to a service like Steam where you have weekend deals with crazy discounts, it remains to be seen if Sony's going to match anything like that.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because the news in the UK today was that PS Vita download games were going to range anywhere from sort of £30 for full price ones, but they were going to go right down to about £5 as well. I don't know specific examples as yet, but there was quite a broad range of prices going on there.
Oh yeah, just like the overall cost of downloadables is like $10, which is the £5 equivalent almost to all the way up to full retail. Like I guess 45 would be the highest because 50 is I think the highest price retail game. So yeah, because I know Super Stardust Delta is $10,
right?
And a lot of people are saying it's like the best launch game too. So.
That's not the best launch game.
That's what
they
some
have an Uncharted game.
People aren't hot on it, Mike.
But it's just another like twin stick shooter.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised to read that. I honestly, if not Uncharted, I really want Wipeout for that thing.
Come on. Let's be honest, guys.
Yeah, so Vita.
Next.
What's next? Oh, this is weird. They've announced they're making Little Big Planet kart racing. Wasn't that Mod Nation Racers? Like, isn't that basically what that was?
No, because no one bought that because no one knew what it was.
But the branded better.
And in an amazingly original idea, it's going to include a Move racing wheel that you can plug your Move controller in.
Ooh.
Haven't seen that before.
So we're going to actually talk about this a little bit more. And let's get topical. So
not only is Double Fine getting their adventure game made, but thanks to a little back and forth on Twitter, apparently Tim Schafer is now in talks with Notch of Mojang, the guys who made Minecraft, to possibly have them entirely fund a Psychonauts sequel.
That actually started right before the Kickstarter.
Yeah, I know, which is kind of funny.
Maybe more weird.
I mean, I
guess you could do it.
I'd be for it. I just, that sounds expensive. But hey, I don't know. Apparently Minecraft made a lot of money. You know,
yeah, did you hear that? You hear about this Minecraft thing?
I've heard some things. So, Final Fantasy 14 in the first sign of an MMO dying.
You said Final Fantasy 14.
I did. Everyone drank. Ah.
We got to do the exploding barrel drinking game.
Sure, there is one.
Everybody drink. So they're that is the way. No. Huh. That's the funniest thing you've said on the podcast. Oh,
thank
I think.
I did it, everybody. Alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
So what about Final Fantasy 14? Tell me all about it.
They're doing a server merger.
But I bet.
They can't just do a fucking server merger and be done with it. You have to manually pick which server you want to transfer to. Like, instead of just being like, okay, server X and Y are now combined to server Z, it's like, here are the 18 original servers.
Oh my
Here's
God.
10 new servers. Everyone pick the new server you want to go on. And if you don't pick, we're going to automatically assign you to one. So it's not really a merger. They're just making everyone pick new servers.
They learned nothing from Final Fantasy XI. Did either of you two play that at all?
I never went through any of the server mergers or anything.
Yeah, the thing that pissed me off with that was in order to get anyone you knew to play with you on the same server when it first launched.
Oh my God, that was so stupid.
That was ridiculous because the item you needed to do that was amazingly expensive as well. So
yes, yeah, so by the time you got it, your friend joined your server, you were already so high level compared to them.
Yeah,
but now like you just create this situation where let's say you're waiting for this Final Fantasy 14 2.0 business to actually start, and you have a character who's maybe level 20. No, it's on the roadmap. It actually comes out at the end of this year.
Is it going to like launch with that PS3 version?
I guess.
That was the plan, yeah.
Now what they're saying is if you don't manually pick what server you want to go to, they're going to assign you to one, and you're just going to, again, fracture up all your friends or whatever. Like, it's just say, look, servers 1 and 2, you're now the new server 1. 3 and 4, you're now the new 2. And just do it. Don't let everyone pick. Just do it.
If Square Enix was making good decisions,
yeah,
then
right,
we'd be solving a lot of problems
we would
right
have
now.
This mess right now.
If Square Enix was making good decisions, Final Fantasy 14 probably wouldn't exist.
Yes, exactly. I would love to just find like a Final Fantasy 14 guild and interview them.
Like a Final Fantasy 14 guild is surely like just one guy going, "I'm so lonely."
Like, seriously, who's playing this?
I don't know.
It's the joke of the internet. It's not even the joke of the internet. Cause it's like it's not even fun to make fun of.
Nope.
It's like the clown. What are you going to do? Make fun of his tiny shoes?
Yeah, Penny Arcade.
That existed before Penny Arcade. All right, next.
All right, I imagine we'll also be talking about this next segment, but the whole Blizzard and Valve arguing over the Dota name.
Yes, we are. All right,
let's save it then. I always screw up the name of this. The annual Interactive Achievement Awards were given at DICE.
A lot of Skyrim.
Yeah, right. Skyrim won the overall game of the year. See, everyone who says they want, like, the Academy Awards style award show for gaming, this is it. Just it's not televised. But, Skyrim won stuff, Portal 2 won stuff. You could find the list.
Usual suspects.
Yeah, nothing too shocking in there. What else I have? Oh, so remember when Steam got hacked last year?
Yeah.
There's been an update on that. It's probable that hackers obtained an old backup file that contained names, email addresses, encrypted billing addresses, and encrypted credit card numbers from the 2004 to 2008 time period.
Let me tell you what annoys me about this.
Okay.
After they did this, there was like a thing on Reddit. It was very high up, like, this is why I love Valve. Look at how honest they are. And it was like top voted. Everyone's like, yes, we love you, Valve. This is basically the same exact thing that happened with Sony. Except somehow for Valve, it's good PR.
It's not.
What? The same thing?
It's not the same thing.
How so, Socrates?
They didn't. Everything that they got from Valve was encrypted. Nothing's been. I mean, they
haven't. Okay, look, it was still a server intrusion. They're saying
yes, it
may
was,
have credit card info.
I'm just saying.
Look, it's still not good. And the point
it's
is
not
that
good.
Because
I agree
it's
with
Valve.
You. I'm just saying it's not
like,
as bad as Sony's,
well,
but it's still not good.
You know,
I knew this
was
gonna piss them off.
Go out of our way to find the bright side. Well, at least they're honest.
Pete, put that down.
I've seen some people commenting on this and saying that Valve are kind of in the wrong for this, for delaying saying what it is. But I mean, I still don't think we know quite the full story on it yet. Maybe they've sort of just determined what has been, what was taken, and so on. But
like, I'm not advocating for a Valve witch hunt or something. I just, the hypocrisy bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Next.
All right, last story. Did you see the video of how the Vita version of Ultimate Mortal Kombat... no, not Mortal Kombat. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 can hook up with the PS3 version of Ultimate?
I've heard about it, but I haven't watched it.
No,
it basically, it becomes your controller, and then the touchscreen has, you know, touchscreen shortcuts to the super moves. Kind of looks exactly like what the Wii U is supposed to do.
Mm.
Like, right. Exactly like that.
Well, there's a rumor now that the next Xbox is going to also have a tablet-style controller.
Really? Where was that?
Oh, I did the rounds this week, yeah.
I can't remember where I saw it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a rumor that the new Xbox pad would be basically an Xbox controller with a sort of Vita-sized screen in the middle. But, again, it's another rumor, so how much stock you can put in it, I don't know.
Right. But, yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
All right.
Of course, I mean, the reason it's not the Vita is cause, or the Wii U is because you have to buy two copies of the game.
Mm. Right.
There you go. That's it. What do you got?
All right. You're going to buy the new Twisted Metal.
So here's my thing right now. I wanted to download that demo to try it. For some reason, I missed that the demo came out like 2 weeks ago.
I missed that too.
Yeah, like you think everyone made a bigger deal about it. And then the demo was time-locked, and it's already... Not only is it, like, not playable, you can't download it or anything.
Oh, fuck this.
I know. Listen, people. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning is a game I knew jack crap about. I played that demo and pre-ordered it the next day. Why do you want to limit my access to demos of your game? I don't understand that. And it's not like I could go out and rent it, because it's going to have an online pass. I mean, I could try the single player, I guess. But I don't understand this practice. I really don't.
Like, I so pitched the game to you. Did you like Twisted Metal 2? Twisted Metal Black?
I did 15 years ago.
I think the experience may have aged slightly better than you thought, because it's one of those things where you can't really play it again. Like, maybe the last Twisted Metal game I played was the
two.
PSP version.
I played 2 last.
Well, there's that PSP
remake
of 2.
I played the PSP one, and I played Black. I remember playing them for 5 minutes and being like, eh.
It's basically an HD Twisted Metal.
Okay.
Like the good ones. I thought it was a lot of fun when I played at E3 like 2 years ago.
I just feel like for the fact that I'm putting a lot of time right now into Amalur and SWTOR and other games, I don't see myself spending $60 for a new Twisted Metal.
No.
I honestly don't.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, it's not a series that I've got any particularly fond memories of. I mean, I don't think I've ever owned a Twisted Metal game. I've played them, but not owned them, so I don't have any real sort of attachment to it. And from what I've heard of this new one, it doesn't really make me want to rush out and suddenly become a fan of the series, so I don't know. I'm fairly about it.
Haters gonna hate.
I'm just saying, you basically have three groups of people right now. You have people with nostalgia for Twisted Metal who are excited for it. People who, like me, who played Twisted Metal back then, and are like, I don't really know if that's something I want to spend $60 on today. And then you have people who don't even know what it is. So limiting demo access isn't helping them.
No.
Plus, apparently there was something where the multiplayer in the demo screwed up, and Jaffe came out and was like, yeah, we're going to extend the demo to February 13th to give everyone a chance to play it. And then it was taken down anyway. And he's like, well, I don't know what's going on. We'll figure it out.
The thing we're getting at the minute is publishers seem to have realized that demos can be used as part of the whole PR scheme for a game, so they can time lock stuff so it coincides with coverage and so on. Like, we've seen that with Mass Effect 3 at the minute. Like, today all I saw on Twitter was people giving away Mass Effect 3 demo codes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a certain part of it, so they can sort of time the marketing of it a bit more and do a real surge of stuff, and so they can coordinate coverage across the press and also say, hey, you can play it today if you do this.
I like I said, I didn't even know the demo came out. If it was going to be a time-limited demo,
yeah,
they should have made a big fucking deal about it. Like, for 2 weeks only, play the Twisted Metal demo before it goes away forever, Then you could buy the game if you like. Like, I completely missed that.
Mm.
I mean, usually, like, I mean, the way the PlayStation Store just does weekly updates, the list will be published on Joystick Kotaku. Typically, in the headline, they'll say when something interesting happens. I never saw it in anything. Like, yeah. No one really seemed to pay it any mind. Till I finally was sitting down Saturday night. I was like, oh, yeah, that should be out. The game comes out on Tuesday. That's when I found out it was over. I just don't get it.
All right, you guys ready? Move on.
Am I able to segue into my Jaffe thing?
What do you have against Jaffe? What's wrong with Jaffe? He's vulgar. I know this already.
He is vulgar, and it makes him sound like kind of a dick. Here's what I don't understand about everyone's like love affair with David Jaffe. He's basically made two games. He made Twisted Metal and God of War.
Mm. Okay, wait a sec. Come on. Those are pretty big games. Those are big deal games. Not everybody can make two games of that, especially in this industry where most people make maybe one franchise and then stick with it basically their entire careers. Hideo Kojima, you know?
And what did this guy do? He finds a studio to make a downloadable game, which wasn't that great. Then he promises.
You loved Calling All Cars. You were all about.
I know.
Cars.
Then it got really
you
old.
You thought
really
Calling
fast.
All Cars
I thought
was hot
great the
shit.
First week. Then it got.
You
old.
Thought it was hot shit, and now
I didn't
look
hot
at you.
Shit.
Turn. You did. Oh, you were all
shit.
About Calling All Cars.
I thought it was fun
we'll
for
ask,
a week.
We'll ask
I,
Evan.
How much did remember? I play it after that first week, Mike?
You were all about Calling All Cars. I would hear it.
That's, my point being, good. Then he's going to suddenly make a PSP game that's going to make us all cry. It gets canceled. Then 4 years later, this company he founded makes a new Twisted Metal, because he, like, that's what he's got. And then he abandons that company, before the game even comes out, to go find another one. Like, what's wrong with that one?
And in extension to that, did you see the interview he did with GameSpot as well, where he basically said, he basically pulled out the old storytelling in games argument again and said, no, you can't do it. And sort of basically held up his hands and said, no, you can't tell stories in games.
Yeah,
full stop. This is I've spoken.
Fucking Twisted Metal. And here's the thing, too. I mean, I don't know exactly how deep he got into the design of these games, but it's not like they were hard to concept. Put some guns on cars. Boom.
Okay, you're trivializing.
Let's fight all the Greek gods.
Okay, don't diminish God of War.
I know.
I know we're all kind of used to God of War, but that was a big deal. Look, I'm not saying David Jaffe deserves a star on the Video Game Walk of Fame.
But so many people act like that. Like, every time he opens his mouth, it's fucking news. I just don't get it.
Look, he's just one of those personalities.
I guess.
You know, he's like a Peter Molyneux or whatever. He gets more attention than he deserves. But
don't
knock his games because of it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't knock the games so much. I just kind of am sick of him.
He's probably going to go away for a while.
Yeah, I know.
Don't worry. All right. Next. From a software perspective, the Vita will have a great launch.
I mean, I think it should in theory.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the only things that are going to hamper it, the system has a lot of hidden costs. And I wonder if that's going to affect people like who are ready to buy it.
I said from a software perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically talking about
just
the strength
just
the of the
launch lineup
titles.
On its own. No, I mean, you look at it, you got what's good is you have a lot of games with wide price ranges. Mm. You have Uncharted for $50, you have Wipeout for $30, you have Stardust for $10. So there's kind of games to meet every budget. And what this means, you know, the thing that always kind of sucks when you get new hardware is you just spent $300 on the hardware and accessories, you can only now afford one game. So you feel like you spent X amount of dollars. It's a large number for one game.
Yeah.
But you can get Uncharted for $50, go home, and download Stardust and Escape Plan, $10 and $15 each,
yeah.
And have three games for the system. That's strong. Like, when the 3DS came out, each game was $40.
Yeah.
You were, you know, most likely getting one, maybe two, and then that was going to be it for a while. Plus, it's also a very big lineup, so there's still stuff to keep buying it even after launch if you don't get everything right away.
Yeah,
I think it's just a. Oh, go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, okay. I agree. It's a strong lineup. I think part of the strength of it is the fact that they are new games, but they're recognizable brands for the most part as well. Things like Super Stardust, people who had a PS3 will be familiar with. Uncharted, everyone's obviously going to be familiar with. Wipeout as well. But there's a few original titles in the mix as well for people who want to check out something a little bit different. So certainly from what I've seen of it, it seems to be a much stronger lineup than the 3DS offered.
A lot stronger.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's just a lot going, just to say, you know, one of your biggest franchises right now, with, you know, as far as PS3 exclusives, I don't know what's bigger than Uncharted for them. To have an Uncharted game be on your launch line. That, you know, that's the equivalent right now of having a Zelda or a Mario launch of your system, which is something like Nintendo hasn't really been able to do, minus Twilight Princess.
I'm curious to see just where they're going forward with it, because, I mean, the only really games out of the launch I know about is the Resistance game, which I don't think has a date, MLB The Show, and then that Gravity whatever game you played.
Gravity Rush.
Yeah, that's coming out in May.
Right, which looks cool.
Yeah, but, like, I wonder, like, what they got cooked up for the fall or anything like that.
E3.
Yeah.
You'll find out. But I think it might be one of the stronger software launch lineups we've seen for a launching system in a long time.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. Like, what did the PSP launch with?
Because I remember basically the big game. There is a new Luminous for this thing, too.
Yeah.
Right. There was Twisted Metal, Wipeout, Darkstalker.
Ridge Racer.
Yeah. It was weird. It wasn't a great launch.
It was basically everyone got Luminous.
Yeah.
Because you never saw anything that looked that good on a portable screen before.
I never got Luminous. I didn't get that at all. But whatever. All
right, next.
Little Big Car Racing is a game you want.
Not really. I don't know. If I didn't buy Mod Nation Racers, what makes them think I'm going to buy Little Big Planet Kart Racing? I just don't understand it.
Isn't the whole point of Little Big Planet, like, oh, you can make any kind of game inside here? I guess you can't make a kart racer, because here's this.
Well, no. No, I get with Little Big Planet 2, there's the sort of proviso. It's like, you can make anything you want, as long as it's sort of 2D-ish. So
right.
Kart racing is sort of a genre that you can't really do in that. And it makes sense to, if they're going to go down the user-generated content route again, to brand it Little Big Planet, because that can then become their sort of overarching games with user-generated content brand. Then it doesn't have to be limited to platform games. They could branch it out into kart racing. They could branch it out into even stuff like, I don't know, a shooter or something, or that kind of thing. So I think it makes sense. I probably won't buy it because I'm kind of over kart races, but it makes sense for them to do, I think.
I mean, if they are really serious about making Sackboy this kind of mascot, then, you know, I think it's, you're obligated to make a kart racer.
I suppose so.
I mean, I don't know. People really, I mean, who's buying kart racers that aren't Mario Kart anymore?
That's the question. I mean, they announced the new Sega and Sonic All-Star Racing.
And that first
frankly,
one was good, but
it was fine. Like, honestly, I'm more excited for it to come out on my iPhone later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Blizzard has a right to sue Valve.
Okay. Here we go. I'm going to try to do this in a way that won't offend you. I'm not happy with either company right now. Okay, let's give the background. So Dota, Defense of the Ancients, a mod made by the modding community for Warcraft 3, using pretty much all art assets from Warcraft 3. Part of the mod team goes on to start working on their own independent, like, standalone Dota-inspired game. Which one is that? Do you know?
There's two people. Two groups of people.
Well,
we got Heroes of New Earth, Han, and we have League of Legends.
Okay. Then there's the third guy, Ice Frog, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah.
Valve hires him, and he is spearheading Dota 2 at Valve. So you have Valve saying, well, we applied for a trademark. We have one of the original creators in our employ. So we have the right. Then you have Blizzard saying, Dota was so strongly associated with Blizzard product, with Warcraft 3, we have the right. Now, if those are going to be the two basic arguments, if I had to pick, I would technically say that I think Valve has slightly more right to the name, only because I see you rolling your eyes at me. Blizzard's only claim is a bunch of people used our platform to make this game. Blizzard didn't have anything to do with creating the game, marketing the game, publicizing the game. Valve, at least, has one of the guys who made it working for them. The question becomes, irrespective of Valve and Blizzard, who actually has the right to Dota?
Maybe nobody has the right to Dota.
That's what I think is honestly the answer.
But Valve certainly doesn't. And I don't know.
Why does Blizzard? That's my question.
I think they have a stronger claim than Valve does. Because if there was never a Valve, Dota would still exist. If there was never a Blizzard, there would not be a Dota. And I get tired of this argument they have the guy who made Dota. Ice Frog did not make Dota. He was one of 100 modders who had something to do with it. And that's the problem, is that we don't know who made Dota.
Yeah.
It was a mod. And it wasn't made by a group of people. And it's a mod. And the way mods work in that weird Warcraft 3 thing is that you just keep people make their own versions of it and they make their own enhancements. And I think Ice Frog was responsible for... Well, the best-known version of it, which was called Dota All-Stars. And I think... And he was strongly associated with that, so now he's... he made Dota, which is a... that's not true. But... don't you think... I can see why Blizzard's upset, because they want to do their Dota now. They're calling it Blizzard Dota.
Right.
And it's just all very weird. And you don't really need that name. League of Legends is fine being
that's
a Dota game without
Dota. I feel like Valve felt they needed the name for people to care. But we've proven that's not the case. League of Legends is massively popular.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they have made just their own, what the fuck you want to call it, a MOBA game or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's call it a Dota game.
I mean, make a big deal. Say, we have Ice Frog, the guy who made Dota All-Stars, working on this. And we're Valve. When we make a game, it's a big deal. So that's why you're going
to
care.
Yeah, I just don't see why they couldn't just make a Dota game and why it had to be Dota 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to own a name that... And, I don't know if Blizzard owns it. Maybe they don't, because maybe they could have done more to support that mod. And, maybe they could have pulled a Valve and hired those guys and said, hey, you're going to work with us. And we're going to make a Dota 2, and it's going to be great. They didn't do that. Some people say they dropped the ball there, and now they're paying for it.
Hmm.
But I don't think that you can. I don't think that Valve can just come in and say, we own the name Dota now. Well, what about the guys at League of Legends? Don't they have some ownership to that name? They had a lot to do with it, or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a million people who could own Dota. It's just a very weird, unprecedented thing.
It's kind of a weird situation with the name anyway, isn't it? Because it's not Defense of the Ancients 2. It's Dota 2. And you look at any time it's mentioned, it is punctuated as if it's a word rather than an abbreviation, which is always struck me as a bit strange. But I don't know. I'm not really involved in that kind of game, so I don't know a lot of the history of it. But I'm kind of the opinion that if Blizzard wanted to do something with Dota, they should have, done it by now. And this sort of arising now kind of feels like they've seen that Valve's thing is going to be popular, and they think, oh shit, I wish we'd done that.
I mean, Valve's been working on this for a while.
Oh, yeah, soured grapes.
And now all of a sudden, it's going to court. They're going to sue. I mean, basically, I think it boils down to this. Me personally, I think Blizzard has more of a... what's the word I want? A casual or just a general claim to the title. But I think if it comes down to a legal battle, Valve has the claim.
I don't know how it's going to work legally. I have no idea legally.
Valve applied for the trademark before anyone else. If you're going to say who owns Dota like no one really does, then Valve said, all right, we'll take it.
Well,
and they made the move.
Now you're going to try to explain to lawmakers modding.
Well, I understand.
So it's just a crapshoot.
Well, not lawmakers, lawyers and judges.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, who knows what they're going to look at this and come down to. Wait, who made this? Well, it's complicated,
I
don't know.
It's a gray area, isn't it? Because, Dota, the original Dota would be classified as, a derivative work or something like that? So,
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you say, I think there's an element of sour grapes going on.
Yeah, for sure. All right, last one. More developers should look to Kickstarter to fund their games.
See, the reason I think Kickstarter worked for Tim Schafer to make a new graphic adventure is because it's Tim Schafer making a new graphic adventure.
Mm.
It's a guy who's got a storied history with the genre, who made some of those genres absolute
and
best
titles. And he's a likable guy.
He's a likable guy that people relate to. And he's making a kind of game that would never get made otherwise. Literally, it's either you guys do this for me or this game will never happen. It's one thing to say, Activision's going to crowdsource the next Call of Duty. That's ridiculous. But even to say, and I'm just trying to think of an example.
Bastion 2.
Not even that. I mean, someone who's worked in AAA titles, who owns a bigger company. I mean, Double Fine, they kind of went from console titles to more downloadable, but they're still, you know, a fairly big, well-known company with publishing deals, things like that. Like, if they want to make a game and they're not too concerned about it, they can do that. And, like, you know, this would be, like, I'm just trying to think of a company that's analogous to Double Fine. Someone help me out.
Well, there's... What if, like, Warren Spector?
That's what I was trying to think.
Mm, yeah.
Not even that. I mean, I feel like that's too big. But,
like, what's another...
Who's the guy who made, like, Luminous and Every Extend Extra?
God.
Okay,
that guy. Mizuguchi, yeah.
Thank you. Let's say he goes to Kickstarter and is like, yeah, I want to make another music puzzle game.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, well, why are you asking us? That's all you do. You've been doing that, and other people do it. Just go do what you usually do. But, like, this is him saying, I need your help to do something so extraordinary that's so not likely to happen otherwise.
Yeah.
And you know I'm good for it. This isn't just some random guy who's going like, yeah, we're going to make a graphic adventure, or you have no idea who the fuck we are. This is the guy saying, hey, remember Full Throttle and Grim Fandango? Yeah, I want to make something else like that again.
Yeah.
But I can't do it without you.
The thing that's kind of annoyed me a bit with the coverage of this is that there's been lots of articles sort of saying, is this going to revolutionize the publishing industry? And no, it's not, because it's not going to be the ideal solution for everyone. Just as, like, you don't make movies in one way. Not all movies are blockbusters. Not all movies are art house films. So it should be the same in gaming. You should be able to have projects that are funded by a group of investors, that are focus group, that are designed to appeal to a particular market, that are built as a product. And you should be able to have these smaller creative projects that can maybe get funded by enthusiasts and so on. So I think it's a good move, but it's certainly not a sort of universal thing that's going to work for the whole industry. As you say, there needs to be someone with a lot of charisma at the front. Not necessarily someone even with as much clout as Tim Schafer. But if you look at some of the more prominent indie developers out there, people like Robert Boyd, who made Cthulhu Saves the World, Andrew Dice, who did Reseteer and Chantelies and Fortune Summoners and that sort of thing. I think those people have got the sort of charisma and the presence online to be able to attract people to come and help fund their project and to build the things that their enthusiast niche audience wants to play. The sort of things that are probably never going to be picked up by a publisher. So there's a place for it, but it's certainly not a universal thing that's going to always work.
Mm-hmm. It's even like you try to think of like other genres where this might apply. Like, if LucasArts is going to say, yeah, we want to kickstart a new TIE Fighter, you guys have wanted that for a long time, I think the response would be, well, fuck you, you're LucasArts. Make one. You guys got money.
Yeah.
But if, like, I don't know his name, but like the guy who's like the lead designer on Descent 2 or Free Space 2, like if he was like, you know, I'm putting together a team, we want to do like a new space sim, well, yeah, absolutely. You made Free Space 2, and they don't make those games anymore. Sign me up.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of a side note, but did you guys see that thing where it was on Penny Arcade where apparently Tim Schafer went up to Tycho and like just flipped him the bird?
I mean, I have to imagine that was done fairly in jest, like it was good humor.
I don't know.
I don't think they're. I mean, Tim Schafer was at PAX showing Iron Brigade or whatever it's called now, but. I don't think they actually hate each other.
I don't know. I like to imagine they do. Like, these two people that you just picture as these giant industry teddy bears, like, just hate each other. Just hate each other. Want to fight to the death. I mean, today's comic was basically making fun of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Okay, that's that. Are we in gaming? Oh,
Amalar Reckoning, Amalar Reckoning.
Pete's going to
talk about what Pete wants to talk about.
All right, I'll start then. I have been playing all sorts of stuff recently. I've been playing Katawa Shoujo recently, but there is an upcoming Squadron of Shame Squadcast on that coming very soon, so I will...
I didn't even know Mike was playing this game. He's like, yeah, I'm recording with the squad. And he goes, I was like, oh, what are you guys recording about? And he goes, Katawa, whatever it is. And I was like, that dating game Pete's been talking about on Twitter?
Yeah.
Mike looked down at the ground like I just caught him, I don't know, walking through the house with dirty shoes like... Yeah, it was.
Well, it's easy to be misinterpreted.
Yes.
You should play it, AJ.
I honestly didn't even know about it until I started noticing on Pete's Twitter a week ago. So
it is a worthwhile game, and what I will say is it's not what you think it is. It's a very worthwhile experience, and if you have the slightest interest in ways to tell stories in games, visual novels, that sort of thing, then it's well worth having a go at, and it's free, so that's to be applauded. On a related note, I also played To the Moon from Freebird Games.
You know, Mark got me a copy of this for the Squatty Santa Exchange.
Yeah.
Mark, I swear I'm going to play it maybe this week, actually. I've just been playing other stuff.
If
I'm gonna get to this.
Set aside 4 hours and play it in one sitting. It's amazing.
Been the thing. I know I want to one-shot it, and
yeah.
I just need to find 4 hours here now.
It is amazing. Like, you wouldn't think that sort of 16-bit Chrono Trigger-style graphics could have such an emotional impact, but yeah, it's incredible. Again, we mentioned that a bit on the podcast, so I won't talk too much about that. I've also been playing Final Fantasy 13 2, which I know you have mixed opinions on. I've been enjoying it so far.
I can't remember. Did you like Final Fantasy 13?
Yeah, I liked 13. I could see its problems and so on, but I did play it through to the end and I enjoyed it.
I feel like we're in the same boat.
Yeah, 13-2. I don't know. It's interesting. It's like they've taken some steps forward and some steps back, because like they've kept the good bits of Final Fantasy 13, like the battle system and stuff like that. They've made the areas more open and so on. The story is complete nonsense. Like, even for a Final Fantasy game.
Not surprised.
I'm shaking my head.
It's like,
what? Time travel involved?
A lot of it, isn't it?
It is all time travel. But, like, But the way they handle it, it's not like Chrono Trigger, where you visit the same areas in different eras. It's like you're constantly jumping all over the world in different eras as well.
It's time and space.
Yeah, so a lot of the time you may as well just be sort of jumping around a world map and so on. So I'm only into the third chapter of it so far, so I don't know if they expand that and do a bit more with that later on. And there's supposed to be a mechanic where you can sort of rewind time in the area and then do it differently, but there's just unlocked for me. Certainly in the early game, it seems to be a bit underutilized as a theme. It just seems to be, it's like, hey, this is cool. It's got some of the longest loading breaks I've ever seen as well.
Really?
Despite all that, I'm enjoying it. It's got good music. It's got lovely graphics.
Speaking of the music, have you gotten to the Chocobo song yet?
I haven't, no. I am familiar with it, though.
What?
Have you heard about this? They took the Chocobo theme and made it like a death metal song or something?
That's funny. I appreciate that.
I just heard a dramatic reading of the lyrics on Weekend Confirmed. I haven't actually heard the song yet, but it sounds pretty wretched.
I am interested in this, though. Cause
how's the whole thing where you're capturing monsters and like the whole Pokemon aspect?
It's cool, actually.
Have you heard that yet?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Dragon Quest did that.
Yeah, you sort of start doing that right from sort of the first main sort of time jump you do. You start collecting monsters, and they come in crystals, and then each monster is like one of the roles you had in Final Fantasy 13. So like you have Sentinel monsters and Ravagers and so on, and but you only have two party members for the whole time, and then your paradigms can include one of three different monsters. And then you level up your monsters by collecting stuff for them. So they don't get experience points and stuff. You collect objects to level them up with, so you have to kind of feed them stuff. And it seems to work pretty well. You can rename them as well, which is always fun. Although, bizarrely,
you
can't...
Did you name one after me yet?
I haven't yet, no. Bizarrely, though, you can't rename them freely. You rename them by picking from a list. And it like gives
so you can't call him like fuckwad and
no.
Like, dipshit. Like, that's too bad.
Yeah, I mean,
fuckwad, I choose you.
There's a lot of pretty fine names you can choose from, and it sort of recommends appropriate ones for the different types of monsters and so on. But you're free to choose your own ones, and there's a lot to choose from. But no, there's no like fuckwad and dick fudge and that sort of thing.
Did I hear you right? There's only two party members.
Yeah,
yeah.
The whole game.
Certainly as far as I've played, is just Noel and Sarah and whatever monster you've chosen.
I understand,
that makes
pretty
sense.
Much the case.
Yeah.
Because everything I've seen has only shown those two people, so
yeah.
It's just weird.
I mean, the sort of gist of it is you're chasing after Lightning, so I don't know if she gets involved later on. Sometimes there's like a guest character in battle as well, so like there'll be
like
someone else.
Third slot.
Yeah. So, like a plot character, and you'll see them wandering around, but they don't have a health bar or anything at the bottom of the screen. They just happen to be there. So, it kind of gets around the issue of, like, there's, like, five people standing there, and suddenly there's a battle, and everyone's disappeared apart from the two you're actively controlling. So, yeah, it's good. It's not perfect, but it's certainly not bad. I'm enjoying it a lot so far, so I'm looking forward to see how it develops.
It's something I want to get to eventually. I think I want to play The Last Story first, because that comes out next month, right?
I think so, yeah. There's certainly sort of... They're starting to do a marketing push in game stores over here now, so...
I mean, you've had it forever.
Oh, you mean Xenoblade.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, Last Story, what are you talking about?
I get them mixed up. The Project Rainfall games.
Yeah. Okay. The Last Story is coming out here in the next couple of months or so, and then you guys are getting Xenoblade very soon.
Right. Which you liked a lot.
Yes, so. It's excellent. If you like Final Fantasy XII, then you'll like Xenoblade a lot.
Damn, I'm so strangely
tempted by this game.
It's very good. It's
between hearing that and like the moral obligation I have now to buy it, just to tell Nintendo to go fuck themselves by giving them money, which I don't. It's a complicated emotion, but
it's great. It's a really good game. There's a lot to do. It's like you sort of 100 plus hours RPG, and actually means it this time. It's got good characters, it's got good voice acting, it's got English voice actors, which is nice. I don't know if they're changing that for the American version, but actually hearing...
I can't imagine they would.
Yeah, but...
That would cost money.
Exactly. But hearing like an all-English cast is a nice change, and it really fits the characters. It's a really nice-looking game as well. Like, even though it's only running at 480p on the Wii, it is a lovely-looking game. It's got some really gorgeous environments and so on. So, yeah, I can recommend checking that out.
Yeah, I'll probably play that when it comes out. And, like, I'll get the Final Fantasy at some point.
Maybe
whenever.
This summer or something.
Yeah, you know.
All right.
Anything else, Pete?
That's about it for now, yeah.
AJ?
Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
Oh, God. Calm down.
Holy crap, this game is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
It's so good.
It's fun.
The day it came out, I played it for 8.5 hours. Yeah, that's almost double my playtime of Modern Warfare 3, by the way. So, like, I mean, I had a pretty good grasp of what this game would be from the demo. Like, you got a good idea of how the combat system is going to work and everything.
Right.
And, I mean, when you're playing it, the world is fairly interesting. The problem with the world is, like, everybody has stuff to say, but it's none of it is particularly compelling.
Mm.
Yeah,
like
I
the
don't
shopkeepers
really...
will talk about your ear off. It's like about nothing. And the thing is, they like there's always subtitles on, and I think the problem is they show too much.
Yeah,
like the subtitle chunks are too big, so I read them faster than the characters say them.
Yeah,
and it's not like the acting's bad or anything, but I'm just skipping through it because it's like, oh, I already read it. I know what you're gonna say. Like I feel like they should have turned that off or something.
Nah, see, I like that. I want to skip by it anyways. I skip by
it. I usually
Skyrim.
Don't. See, I didn't in Skyrim.
I did.
But I can't believe how much I enjoy this combat system. When you start figuring out the nuance of how it's like there's the three tiers of attacks and you can always chain up. And when you go into a battle encounter and you just pull off this like perfect combo, you feel so accomplished after doing it. And you didn't have to memorize that XXYX does this and XXXYX does this. It's just so organic. It's just based on timing and position. And, I mean, it's easy to understand, but you're constantly finding new ways to utilize it. The game does a good job of keeping the loot flowing. I'm really enjoying all the crafting options in the game. What I love, because Oblivion and Skyrim do this too, when you craft something, you can name it. So I've got my flaming chakrams are called the Torcano, which is a reference to Michael's disaster movie.
That was John Hayes.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
To be fair.
And then my fire greatsword is the Flame of Roma Jim, which is an ESPN reference that I'll leave it to people to figure out. But I just have so much fun playing this game. Like, I sit down and just marathon through it, and I'm having a blast. And the thing is, I didn't do this in the demo. I finally looked at the full world map. I didn't even scratch the surface of this thing. It's huge! It's absolutely huge! Like, I can't imagine this game going on this long. But the thing is, I'm okay with it. I don't feel like it's wasting my time or anything. The only thing I'm bummed about is knowing that there is a level cap. I feel like it'd be great if there wasn't one. You could just eventually get every skill. Like, why not? What do I care?
How's the story?
I can re-roll. Yeah, it's not that good.
The story's... I mean, the thing is, I'm going to have to stop doing this. But I'm doing every side quest there is, which I know is a fool's errand.
Right.
So the story's going along kind of slowly right now because I'm doing everything else. There was the one
more proper side quests where you do this thing for the House of Ballads.
I like that quest line.
Did you finish it?
No, I'm in the middle of it. It's cool.
The end of it is awesome. Well, I can tell you the story of that quest line.
It kind of explains really a little cool because it's interesting.
Well, it's neat because the Fae, who are like the immortal elves in this world, you have to kind of figure this out. They don't overtly explain it to you that well, but basically, in their immortality, they live their existence in cycles of seasons, literally repeating the same events. So they have the tellings and the ballads of, like, these great heroic figures. And it's, like, literally every cycle these figures go out and, like, basically relive their great adventures. Even, like, the bad guys and everything all play their part. And if they do die or something, then they have, like, a competition, basically, to have someone become the new whoever. So you actually end up becoming one of these heroes of legend. You become the new Sagwal. And you have to, like, play your part in all these stories. But the whole conceit of the game is your character has no fate. And this is becoming a thing throughout the whole world where people are finding basically ways to get out of fate's design. So the kind of conceit of this quest line is that one of the great enemies of these ballads of the Fae is also figuring out how to change fate. And it's screwing everything up. And now you're here who also has no fate. And it's kind of like now everyone's in this like weird situation where, like, usually we know exactly what's going to happen. We have no idea what's going on. We're hosed. Like, you need to save us because we can't handle this.
So, yeah, that quest line is interesting because it's, you know, it's just a neat fantasy concept.
Yeah, like, that's something that really hasn't been done. Right. It's fairly original, which is nice. Because, I mean, it's easy to slag the game's world off as being generic fantasy with a bunch of unpronounceable names. And yeah, there's an element of that, but
I mean, don't be mistaken. The main draw here is that this is basically an Elder Scrolls game with faster paced combat.
Well, it's not, you can't,
I mean, you can boil it down to that,
yeah,
though, really.
To be really simple, I mean, the thing is, it's not, when you say open world, it's not like, oh, there's a mountain over there, I'm going to go climb it. I mean,
no,
it's you know, there's invisible walls and you know, much more like Fable.
Yeah, I was going to say Fables. Yeah, yeah. I've heard Fable thrown around a bit.
Honestly, this is the game Fable wishes it was. It really is.
Yeah,
it
sure
really is.
This is the game Fable could have been if it wasn't so concerned about dumbing itself down to the lowest common denominator.
Or if you weren't, like, farting in front of people. or if you just clapped a bunch of times, they suddenly married you. Like, yeah. I mean,
that doesn't happen to you?
Hasn't worked yet.
That's
and I
true.
Keep trying it.
He
I just get hit
English.
A lot.
Maybe that's just how it works in England.
Oh, that could be.
That's how they court people. We fart and clap. The
people.
English mating dance.
anything else you want to add, or?
No, I like it a lot. I think it's a great February game.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic timing for its release. I mean, you know, big, huge games did the heavy lifting on it, of course. And these are the guys who've made Rise of Legends, Rise of Nations, the Catan port on XBLA. It's not like a complete rookie effort. But for 38 studios, what they achieved with this, I still think it's astounding.
It's impressive. And I think that I feel like the game is going to do pretty well, and I think there will be a Kingdoms of Amalur 2 that's really going to be
well, and
special.
They're still working on the MMO as well.
Man,
Project Copernicus.
That's a bad idea.
That was the start. That. The MMO came first.
I'm sure, but don't do that now.
No. I mean, they've been working on it. It's
I know they're working on it. I'm just saying they shouldn't be.
No, it's
we don't
happen.
Need another fantasy MMO.
Sorry,
thing.
Kurt Schilling wills it to be so.
Well, Kurt Schilling can do what he wants.
That's right.
He played baseball.
So yeah, everyone should go at least try the demo.
Okay.
Like I said, you apparently told me all about this game at E3, and I was like, yeah, whatever, fancy,
right.
Blah, blah. I played that demo. I played the 45-minute time limit. I literally, the next day, went to Best Buy and pre-ordered this game.
One thing I want to add is that the demo is kind of, it's a little glitchy.
Yeah,
none of those glitches
are in the game. None of them.
Yeah, it's weird, actually. This may be one of the least glitchy open world games
I played
in a while.
Totally.
Which is surprising because I thought like they wouldn't have the resources to handle glitches that well.
No, yeah, I haven't
had
any
technical problems
with this game at all. It's astounding.
Anything else you played?
Yes. Gotham City Impostors also came out this week. Again, I kind of knew what this game was. I was like, oh, I'll check it out. Freaking love it. Bought it immediately after I played the demo.
I do not love it.
I know. I could tell you didn't. But I wanted you to at least play it so we could talk about it a little bit.
like the when you get the trial, it gives you 60 minutes of time to play the multiplayer. You could do the training, and that doesn't cost you any of your time or anything. But of course, I was like, okay, I got a half hour left. I need to go, so I'm going to turn this off, and I'll come back to it. And it's like, hey, you know, you still have a half hour left of your timer, but we're not going to save your progress if you don't buy the game. I was like, oh, you fucking assholes. All right, fine. So I bought it because, you know, you like level up and everything and unlocks. I mean, there's two components of it, the gameplay itself and then all the stuff outside of the game. The gameplay itself is great. When I was trying to figure out why I liked it so much, oh, shit. Who was it, Rod Orzechski? I should check this. I think it was Rod. But I was, you know, I was talking on Twitter about how much I love this game. And he said, it's basically Shadowrun. And he said that, and I was like, oh my god, that is absolutely what this is. It's Shadowrun with, like, a Batman skin on it. And as soon as he said that, like, it completely clicked in my head, like, yeah, it was Rod, good. It completely clicked in my head why I like this so much, because I think I was one of four people who liked Shadowrun a lot.
Yeah, you were.
And what made it just so fun was just you had these, like, kind of fantastic abilities that were very easily accessible within the game by just hitting a button based on the class you were playing. So this game, you know, you have your gadgets because it's Batman, but, like, it's just so funny because the aesthetic is people who want to be Batman, but they don't have the money. So, like, the rocket launchers are, like, 2-liter bottles of soda with, like, some homemade explosive liquid inside of it that they shoot out and things like that. Then you have all of your items, like gliders, which are just, like, bath towels and shit, and grappling hooks, springs tied to the bottom of shoes, roller skates, all this goofy stuff. And whatever one you pick, just map to the left bumper. So I like the glider a lot. You know, you glide through the air, but there's all these, like, updraft vents that'll shoot you back up. And then you could dive bomb into your opponents. You basically turn yourself into a projectile. And the bigger body type you pick, the more damage you'll do with it. It's just, like, super satisfying to, like, dive bomb into people, especially if you do it in midair. That's really fun. Just, like, the way you can combine all these different weapons and the gadgets and everything, it's just really compelling, like, just from a gameplay point of view. Then we add in the goofy aesthetic, the voice acting, which is awesome, everything else that's going on. It's just really fun.
I don't have a problem with it, really. It's just, it's a game I've played. It's a game I've played a lot.
I know what you're comparing it kind of to Call of Duty and things,
not,
I think.
Not
a
just
bit.
That, AG, but just
online shooter with
online
a ranking
shooters
system.
In general, at
just
this
because
point.
I mean, because it's cartoony and not realistic, I think that's why I'm enjoying it more. Because it's not about getting headshots and things like that.
Right.
It's about just getting into the thick of things and fucking around and having fun.
But you know, it still feels like a game I've been playing since the late 90s.
Yeah.
In some ways. And if I'm going to play this game, I'm probably going to play Team Fortress 2 still.
I have a question about this.
I like its aesthetic. I like some of the things it's doing. I don't see myself sitting down and, like, I'm going to play Gotham City Imposters every night.
Right. Pete, what's your question?
Yeah, my question is, for your, it's what, $15, right?
Yes.
How much stuff do you get for your $15?
This is my next point. So you have all your various unlocks. You have weapons and weapon mods and gadgets, and then you have all the aesthetic stuff, your costume. There are two different types of currency. Basically, unlocks, just every level, you get a different kind of unlock. You get to unlock a new weapon. You get to unlock a new gadget. There's no cost. You just get an unlock in that category. And the only thing I don't like about it is, like, I have 3 loadouts that I could customize right now, but I don't even have enough unlocks to make all of them completely unique from each other. You know, which is, like, it's weird. But, like, you know, eventually you'll get everything. Same thing goes for the costumes. You get costume coins. But then whenever you go look at the costume pieces, you can either spend your costume coins or you can unlock it right now for X amount of Microsoft points.
Yeah, this
it's got a little bit of like a free-to-play model going for it. So like it's almost like, should this have not been $15 if they were going to do that? Maybe make that even more prominent?
This is what I've been thinking. I know, I think it was Jim Sterling was saying this the other day. It's like, if you want to make a freemium game, just make a fucking freemium game. And it just seems like, I don't know, after I've paid $15 for that sort of thing, I don't really want to have to pay any more. And there's a lot of stuff you can pay for it. Something like $120 worth of extra stuff you can unlock.
And like I said, all of it can be earned in-game.
That's cool.
And not even that hard. I mean, costuming has not been a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like the one thing, which is like no shirt is 1,000 coins, which would take a while.
And the reason you'd want that is because if it's the female model, it's just a bra. But
oh, man.
Oh, yes.
Look out.
But, yeah, like, it's not necessary. I feel like I would have been more bothered if they went more with the microtransactions.
Hmm.
As it is right now, it's not so offensive. I feel like I got ripped off of my $15.
Here's
how I'm going to make you want to play this game, Pete. This is basically the people who made No One Lives Forever and No One Lives Forever 2.
Oh, don't do this to me.
Because when you do the training, there's just it's like the only cutscene in the game where it's like the two bats guys like welcoming you to initiation. It's so well animated and acted. And you're like, oh god, why don't these guys make this anymore? Forget fear. No one cares about fear.
You need a Kickstarter.
I think so. There's also like the opening cinematic too. It's just funny, irreverent stuff. Because I mean, the Batman world is usually so dark and serious, and you know that tone, and you just kind of get that tone turned on its head. Like if the bats beat the Jokers, the little screen pops up like "Bats win," and it just says below that, "Who's laughing now, ass clowns?" Like Batman would never say that, but it's funny. I don't know. I just really like that. Yes, that's Gotham City Imposters.
Anything else?
Hero Academy.
Oh, God. Jesus, you've been going on and on about everything.
This
is the one you're going to
this
say has
been like one of my
about.
Favorite weeks of gaming ever.
God.
Okay. Hero Academy came out a while ago, and I downloaded it. Somehow the notifications got turned off for it on my phone, so like, I wasn't playing it because anything I know else was like answering my request to play, so I ignored it. So I figured that out after hearing more people talk about it. I was like, okay, someone's got to be playing this. I found out they all were, and I was being a dick and not answering them. So I've been playing this game, like, all week. For those of you who don't know what it is like a turn-based asynchronous iPhone game, apparently based off of some board game, or ripped off might be the better word, I don't know. But you drop your units, and then you can move them around. You have items you could use to enhance their attack, defense, and you have these crystals. You can either wipe out the enemy team or destroy their crystals. And you have five actions per turn. A move, an attack, equipping something is all an action. Asynchronous multiplayer, and that's it. You get one army for free. You pay $2, you get the second army, and the ads go away. So it costs you nothing. It is so fun. Like, I don't know why I'm enjoying it so much. The only thing I hate about it is that, like, you want to be playing it, but you're waiting for people to take their turn, so you gotta wait. Pete. Oh, good. He just sent me a move. But yeah, it's awesome. I mean, like I said, it's completely free. You can at least check it out. Play me. I'm on there. My username's AdgeGuy. I will defeat you.
The nice thing is, like a lot of the other sort of with friends games, there's sort of the option to get matched up with a random opponent as well.
Uh-huh.
And
you have that option.
There are so many people playing this game now. It's been really popular, which is really good to see, because like, I mean, the With Friends games are great, but, I mean, they're very simple. And this is just sort of, it feels like something that's just sort of taken it up to the next level with that asynchronous play, proving what
it's
you can do with it.
It's deep enough.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not so deep you get bogged down in heavy strategies and so on, but it's got enough depth to be satisfying.
It's kind of like, you know, it's not chess, it's more checkers. Maybe a little in between. I don't know. It's great. Okay, I'm done, Mike.
All right.
You can stop looking at Facebook.
I've already been hearing discuss about this game. I'm sorry, I turned off
my... Yeah, I know. I was like, what the heck?
Well, I meant to mute the thing so I could hear myself. Anyways, I've already been hearing you gush about Hero Academy long enough.
It's so fun.
Anything
else you played?
This has been going on for a while. The only different thing I've been playing from you is I've gone to Minish Cap. Game Boy Advance Zelda game, because, you know, we all got a free copy, those of us who had 3DSs forever, and I hadn't really played much of it before, and I know chronologically it's the next one after Skyward Sword, so I thought I would play it, and it's great because it, you know, it's basically Link to the Past, but with a lot of ideas that were actually used in Skyward Sword. Like, the digging mitts are in this.
Ugh.
I know, you know, but they're different here.
Okay, you don't go underground and crawl around. Okay, that's what I hated.
Kind of have like that gush jar thing. You have an item that just turns things upside down. So it's kind of interesting that it really does seem like Skyward Sword took a lot from this. But, you know, I feel like maybe it's overlooked a bit because it's not Linked to the Past and
right.
It was made at a time when the 2D Zeldas weren't as popular. But it seems very well designed. Good dungeons,
good.
All that fun stuff. I've been enjoying it. All right, let's get to the releases then and wrap this thing up.
All right, what do we got?
All right, so Twisted Metal, which we've been talking about.
I want to play it. It's on my Game FAQ, so I can try it.
Comes out tomorrow. Crusader Kings 2 for PC.
Oh, man, I love the first one.
Oh, Mod Nation Racing. Mod Nation Race. Sorry, the echo was getting to me again. I thought I could do this. Mod Nation Racers Road Trip for Vita. We have all these Vita games now.
I didn't know there even was a Vita one.
Yeah, surprise, huh? Well, it should work really well because there's all that like terrain stuff, right? I don't know.
Yeah, can you just like touch one side of the screen or the other to make the terrain pop out? Actually, that's a good idea.
Grand Slam Tennis 2, PS3, 360. Little Deviants for Vita, which is like the mini game collection.
That game, I was not impressed by that. We played it at all.
I don't think you're alone in that assessment from
reality
what I've seen.
Fighters for Vita. That's the augmented reality game. Hotshots Golf for Vita. That might be fun.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good. I mean, Hotshots Golf is great. It's basically Mario Golf Advanced.
Riven. That'd be funny. Riven. Heaven Fever.
Yes, they're back.
Rhythm Heaven Fever is coming out for the Wii. This is a great DS game. I don't know if I want to.
I heard
Wii
the Wii
version,
not as much.
I played
the headline
E3.
I saw was Rhythm Heaven Fever, argument for buttons in games.
Uncharted Golden Abyss for Vita. GameSpot, another person who gave it like a 7. I've seen some reviews be a little middling, and then others be like, oh, it's a 9. You know. Tales of the Abyss is coming out for the 3DS. This was a very good PS2 role-playing game. What?
This one's a port. It's not original.
No, this is a port.
Okay.
This was the one that came out after Tales of Symphonia, the one I liked a lot, and this came out on PS2. I liked this one a lot too, but I didn't beat it. I got very far in it.
Yeah, I see.
I don't know if I would go back to it, but there it is. Warp, which is a great downloadable game, is coming out for 360 and PS3.
Yep, this is the start of the block party or whatever.
Wipeout 2048. Woo! For Vita. And a 3D version of Tekken.
I guess I should throw it out there. Remember how one of my complaints about Wipeout was the really long loading time of the demo?
Yeah.
I was talking about it with Alex Conley on Twitter. And the guy who's like the guy who makes the game like started answering us randomly. He assured us that there's a patch coming to take out the like to help the loading times. And he also answered the question we had if you could use custom soundtracks in the game, which you apparently can. It's a system-wide thing, not a game-specific thing.
All right.
Also, did you know, quick aside, the Vita has cross-game voice chat?
No. Yeah, I did know this.
PS3 doesn't.
I remember reporting on this, and it was like, it's like they can put this in their new system, but they can't patch it into PS3. Really?
Yeah.
Step in the right direction.
I guess so, yes.
All right. So that's it. Thanks for joining us, Pete.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you had as much fun as we did.
I certainly did.
All right. Ashguy, I do not thank you. In fact, I resent
you
appearance here every week.
I live here.
All the more reason for resentment. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Also, I was on the newest Squad Your Shame Squadcast. We were talking about Katawa Shouju and... Is it Shouju?
I'm never quite sure. Katawa Shouju, I think, is the...
I'll show you.
Disability girl dating game. And other games with all sorts of feels. You'll get the feels. And I imagine Pete's going to be spending a lot of time editing that this week.
Yeah, that should be out this week sometime.
Well, I think I left the house at like 9 o'clock and I got home like midnight. You guys are still recording. I was
up until 5 a.m. recording that podcast.
Yep.
It was epic. So look out for that. We'll let you know on the Twitters and all that stuff when that comes out. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel, on Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Also find us in the iTunes Music Store. Please go there, give us a review. Helps us out quite a bit. And that's it. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye. You loved calling old cars. You were all about calling old cars. You thought calling old cars was hot shit. You thought it was hot shit. And now look at you turn. You were all about calling old cars. We'll ask Evan what he remembers.